Yeah, the masters do incarnate, and I believe they incarnate at quite a bit of risk because, of course, they have to lose their memory when they're born, and then they have to go through the struggle of getting back everything they lost by being born. Sometimes they're not entirely successful.
Although it sounds like some people are born without losing their memories. I've come across people saying that they remember.
Yeah, some people still remember their past lives pretty good, just at birth with no regression or anything.
So maybe that's an accident.
Not necessarily an accident. You pretty much plan your life. You can plan your life so you can remember easier, and others plan their lives so they don't remember, because by not remembering, then they're not distracted from what they're supposed to do, what they're supposed to learn. So it just depends. It doesn't mean you're highly evolved or not highly evolved if you remember or not. It is a sign of sensitivity if you can remember. So I call this a chapter where we talk about our plunge into the world of time and space as the bold adventure, because it is kind of a bold adventure, because only part of the sonship came here, and they had to be fairly gutsy to defy God himself to be able to enter the dream. We were denied entering, creating this universe as something real, because God said if you did that, then there may be no escape from it. You may be trapped there for all eternity. But we still wanted to do it. So we had to do it in the dream state. And in the dream state, this is not real. And the key to going back is realizing we are dreaming. And then once we realize we're dreaming, then we have to take steps to wake up. One of the funny statements it makes is in one of the lessons, it says, I need do nothing. And I compare it to this. If you need do nothing, then why does it seem to be so hard? Okay, let's suppose that you were on the edge of a cliff and you had a voice come to you and said, let yourself just fall off this cliff and you won't have anything to worry about. You will be protected and nothing will happen to you. Okay, to let yourself fall off that cliff, you need do nothing. Just let yourself go and you would fall right off. So this is kind of the way it is with waking up. To wake up, we have to just let everything go that we're attached to. And if we could do that, we could wake up tomorrow. But letting everything go is hard. It would be as hard as being on the edge of a cliff and thinking, I could fall off this cliff and still be safe. I could enter. The heavenly realm is waiting for me at the bottom if I let myself fall off the cliff. So you could think, I need do nothing. But you feel like, I got to do something because, what is really down there? Do I really trust it? Do we really trust that if we let our attachments completely go, that we would go to a better place? If we let everything go, it seems like everything would fall apart and everything would become worse. So we put a lot of attention on keeping this world together individually as well as especially collectively. But we're part of the collective sonship. So the collective sonship is far from just doing nothing. They are doing a lot to keep this world intact. Yeah, I found that an interesting statement where it says, I need do nothing. And it makes it sound like it would be just so easy. Even though we've been here millions of years, thousands of lifetimes, we could just return in an instant if we had the right mindset. But getting to that right mindset...
Return where?
To our source. To the monad.
You don't believe that.
Returning to the monad?
In an instant. Like, just letting go.
I believe it would be possible if you had the exact right state of mind, you would disappear right now and go back.
And bypass all of initiation and progress.
Yeah, yeah. You could buy if, but no one has ever done that before.
Why?
I mean, we have to go, just like if you're on the edge of a cliff and you're told if you let yourself go, you will fall down and be caught by heavenly beings and you'll have everything that you ever want. It just would be very difficult to believe that. Okay? So it's very difficult to achieve that mindset where you need do nothing. Yeah, so we have to go through all these. We have to go through all these initiations. Do you remember the name of the final initiation, the ninth?
Consumed by fire.
What?
Consumed.
Now there's seven initiations we take on this planet, and then there's two additional ones we take from other solar systems. The eighth and the ninth. Do you remember the name of the ninth? It's negation. Okay. We negate everything.
But I find it odd, if Jesus, say, wrote this book, isn't that funny he wrote it because, what, he was at his fifth initiation?
Yeah.
And he's speaking with authority as if he was...
Well, it doesn't say whether it's Jesus or the Christ.
Well, see, even if it was a Christ, he hasn't reached his seventh, or is he in his seventh?
Yeah, he's in the seventh initiation, the Christ is.
Can they go right back up to their monads? And then is that why they're working with us?
Well, he says he's not completely there yet,
right,
in the Course in Miracles. He says he still has his feet upon the earth and his hands in heaven, and that he cannot go back until he takes his, completely, until he takes his brothers with him.
Why not?
That's what he says in the Course in Miracles.
Why not the one whom not can be said? Why wouldn't he just do that?
Well, he's not back yet completely either.
So, no, but he can. It would be very easy for him, wouldn't it?
Well, maybe not. Yeah.
That can be said.
Well, I think a lot of these great beings maybe have the opportunity to go back, but they are having fun.
That's what I was going to say.
Being masters of a galaxy or a solar system?
The only people that would truly want to go back are people that are miserable.
Yeah.
Right, and they can't.
Yeah, maybe, you know, the Course in Miracles students that want to go back the most are very unhappy with their life. And they see this life as a miserable life. You know, I've been spending time with the Course in Miracles groups. And, yeah, the ones that want to go back the most are not very happy people. And they really want to just go back and just let everything
Christians
go.
Christians think that way, too. Mm-hmm. You know, having happiness is beyond the grave. I'm going to die and go to heaven.
But they're missing the point. Because to
right.
become a master, you have to have mastered every challenge that Earth life provides.
And by the time you become a master, then you're on a good path. So why would you... limit your experience? Oh, I get to go on to become a god of a, you know, a solar system, or I get to do, you know, things.
Yeah. Well, it's a kind of fun experience. Once you get to be a master, you're not limited by your body. And this one thing the Course points out, he says the body itself is the basis of all fear. It says everything you fear is in connection to your body. So once you transcend the body, it says there will be nothing to fear anymore, which is an interesting statement. When you think about that, it's pretty true. You know, if you don't want to defy the authorities because maybe they put you in prison and limit your body to one spot, and that produces fear, or they say, take this vaccine or your body is likely to die, so people take the vaccine. To preserve their body and everything, or even the opposite.
Other people fear the vaccine.
Yeah, other people fear the vaccine but it's all centered around the body. The Course in Miracles points out that once we take our attention off the body, the truth of what Jesus said in the Bible will come to pass. It said, if any man poison you, it says it will have no effect if you truly believe. If you're bitten by a snake, it will have no power over you. And in the Course in Miracles, the author affirms that this is true. It says, if we take our attention off the body, the things of the world can have no power to hurt us.
I was afraid from the fourth jump, so I took the fifth.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I want to know, if this is a dream, who set up all these rules? I mean, in like in the Matrix or something, you know, like that, all of a sudden somebody had to have been up there and said, okay, these are the rules, you got to go through all this, you have to pass all these initiations, you got to go here, you got to overcome, you got to let go, you got to come back. You got to have a monad. You have to do this. Who made all these rules?
Yeah. They're kind of natural because in the process of creation, everything just kind of settled into, you know, where the forces were in alignment. And then we just figure out where the forces are and create rules around them. And I think it's just a natural evolution.
It's all a formula of energies.
Yeah, I think when we created this world, we weren't sure exactly how it was going to turn out, but we kind of played around with it. Like when the first computers were made, they didn't have a vision of everything that we see now, but they just had the seed thought. And we had the seed thought for the universe, and as we plunged into it and started creation, then the rules began to just materialize, and we adjusted to them. That's kind of the way I look at it. Anyway, it's not that God says, well, gravity is going to work this way, and light is going to work this way, and it's just that it just, as creation proceeded, as we proceeded with creation, we saw how we had to adjust to make everything work and synchronize together and kind of just went along with it. Just like creating a computer program or a new car or something new. You have the seed thought for the idea, but you don't have all the ingredients till you proceed. And I think creation is that way. And that's why this world is imperfect. We would have probably liked to have created a perfect world, but we didn't really know how till we plunged into it. And we made it as good as we could. And now we're in the process of trying to make it better, you know.
JJ, when you say all fear has to do with the body, does the body include emotions? I mean, emotions that you can fear having bad emotions also?
Yeah, there is fear of, like, embarrassment. You could say kind of transcends the body. That goes to the astral body. But they say in your after death, all the regressions report that the emotional self is not there the way it is here. So we, matter of fact, some esoteric teachings tell us the second death is the death of the astral body as we go back to the soul. So the first death is the physical body, second death the astral body, and then we're living in the fourth or third mental sphere, mental level, there in the spirit world. And because we're disconnected from the lower emotions, we're able to see things much more accurately. Because our emotions really interfere with our vision. It really distorts our vision. You have an argument, say a political argument with somebody, they will argue from how they feel rather than using pure reason. And that's from their astral body is just jumping in and trying to project their astral feelings as reality. But then when you return to the soul and you talk to that soul of that person you're arguing with on Earth, you will actually agree.
And the people who reincarnate before the second death? Without the second death?
What was your question again?
Are there people who reincarnate without the second
death? Oh, without the second death? No, they'd have to go through the second death first. before they reincarnate. You know. It says, as a matter of fact, the scripture says, blessed are the something about the righteous because they will not see the second death. Because if they're not subject to the emotional distortion, then they can bypass that second death and just go directly back to the soul. But if they're strongly attached to their emotional self, they have to wander around in the astral world for a while before they return to their souls. Then there's some astral hells and everything they can experience if that's what they need. But all those are temporary.